This podcast is a service of South Canyon Baptist Church in Rapid City, South Dakota. For more information about our church, visit southcanyonbaptist.org.
Hello, South Canyon. This is Pastor Kevin, and I'm here with Pastor Brent, Pastor Josh. This is part two of us talking about vision, and we're going to focus today in this episode on what's going on inside our walls. So the last one, the first one, if you missed that, take a listen. We're talking about just outside our walls and offering some clarification and some information about our hopes, our prayers, our vision for what will happen outside our church. This one is what we have, our vision for inside our walls. So let's start with talking about Sunday mornings. So let's kind of cover the components of the service itself and talk about what our desire, what our intent is for the Sunday morning corporate gathering. One of you jump in and tackle that.
Well, of course, as I think about Sunday morning, the thing that I give the majority of my attention to in the course of a week is preparing to preach and teach God's word, and that is something that as a congregation we're committed to. We believe that the Bible is God speaking, and so we want to open the Bible. We want our teaching to be expository, and we want what the main point of the text is to be the main point of the message so that God's people can hear God, hear God's word, mm-hmm. and how it relates to our lives, particularly in what it looks like to follow Christ and to know Christ. So that's obviously an important part of what we do on Sunday morning is we hear God's word, we respond. And then, of course, we want everything else to be biblical. We want it to be gospel-centered. We want people to be continually reminded of what God has done for us in Christ so that we can know him and worship him and be strengthened by his spirit and filled with his spirit so that we can serve others. Kevin, you can, you know, talk a little bit about, and we do this as pastors, Kevin, most weeks picks most all of the songs that are done, but we quite often at the beginning of a year or from time to time will look at new songs in an attempt to gather to evaluate them theologically and how accurate they are and how faithful they are and how they would, we think, equip and build up our people through song, how they would help us to worship mm-hmm. in spirit and in truth. So if you want to talk a little bit more about songs and priorities.
I guess I'll start with saying this, that I think that sometimes people, Christians, just in general, we confuse our preferences with what is substance, what is necessary. And I'll even use with preferences, I'll talk about style. So kind of here, this is the way that I see this. I mean, with Kevin Doyle and with Josh Brown and with Brent Reeves, we come with a certain style. And so a lot of people approach what they think should happen on a Sunday morning from a stylistic point of view or a preferential point of view. And I think that's the wrong way to do it. Our hope is that the lyrics of our songs, the prayers that are prayed, the scriptures that are read, the preaching, the word that is exposited, we want it to be Christ-centered. We want it to be God-glorifying. We want it to, all of what we do, to point to God. With that comes a particular style that I bring to the table, and it is mine, and I know that it's not everyone's. That there may be preferences. People have preferences for other things, and I'm sorry. I only am what I am. So, and that does not mean, you know, I make an effort in music to kind of reach back and pull from the past, not because we have people that want that necessarily, but because I believe it's important. We stand on the shoulders of people who have gone before us and worshiped before us. And so I think that it is a good practice to bring some of the old in. And music, by its very nature, is fresh and new. I think that one of the things that music offers is a new way to sing about the same old truths. But we want those lyrics, those words, to be substantive and to be true, to be theologically correct. One of the things I've observed about music that I think is just interesting is countries in the world. Let's take Cuba, for example. Countries that have had oppression in their government, the music does not change. It stays the same. And I think it's interesting how that America, because of our freedom, because of our liberties, the things that we enjoy, we kind of lead the world in musical expression and diversity. And it's really interesting to think about that, how that freedom produces that kind of creativity and expression. I think that also applies in the church, that as we experience freedom in Christ, that our creativity, it diversifies, it grows. I think that the substance, the truth, should not change. What we sing about should be what people have have what the people of God have always sung about, which is deliverance, the deliverance that they experience from bondage, from oppression. But creativity is something that grows and changes. So I say all that to say, you know, Sunday morning music, we want it to be God-word, God-centered, Christ-exalting. We want that to be our effort. And this is the thing, Sunday morning, the preaching of the word, praying together corporately, singing these songs to each other and to God. These are things that we're called to and really where we place the greatest level or degree of priority for our congregation. Do you have anything, Josh, to add on Sunday mornings?
The thing I would add just is that we're very committed to a pretty simple service. You can look down through history, and when God's people have met, there's been certain things that have always been there. You could actually go clear back into the Old Testament and go into church history, but there's always been prayer. There's been the reading and teaching of God's word together. There's been singing. And then there's been this mutual encouragement and discipline of one another. And so we want to, even while we are creative in some ways, we want to be simple and rooted in the things that God has always been using to build his people, mm-hmm. that have marked his people, even going back to as far back as you can go in history, God's people have always done these certain things. So while we have a lot of freedom to be creative, there are certain things that are just anchor us historically, anchor us biblically, and anchor us globally. I love that we can go to Haiti mm-hmm. and worship with people we've never met before. We've had virtually no influence on each other. Yet there's something about how these people, they're singing in the same way I'm singing. Mm-hmm. In a different way, I can't even understand it, but they're opening the same Bible I'm opening. Mm-hmm. They're praying in the name of Jesus the same way I am. We're also anchored in, and I don't think would be entirely strange if you took someone from the first century and put them in our worship service. I don't think it would be entirely strange. Mm-hmm. I think we could go somewhere else anywhere and go, man, the people of God are marked by certain things when they gather. And so we want to go in all in on those. So we don't have a ton of media. We don't have a ton of different things. But part of that is just because we really want to center on that which has always marked God's people primarily. And then within that, we can be culturally expressive.
Amen. Amen.
So that would be what I would add, is that we actually have an even more robust base by which we mark what we do. So when we pray, we want to pray Scripture. We want to pray. When we sing, we want to sing the truths of God from Scripture. When we preach, we want to preach the Scriptures. And in that, we are tied in with history and the globe around the gospel.
Yeah. I'll talk about life groups for a second. We see in Acts, and we've done a podcast on Acts 2, 42 through 47, which we go into this more and explain, but we see that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking bread, fellowship, prayer, and we see in the end of that passage that the Lord added to their number daily. We really believe that life groups are a primary means of experiencing God's grace in our lives, that gathering not only corporately on Sunday morning, but also house to house, that this gathering and this living life with one another to the degree that we are able is spiritually beneficial for the body, that we see growth, that we see, you know, conviction, that we see encouragement, that we see the Lord just work through his people. So this is something that we prioritize in our church. And these two things, really, the corporate gathering and gathering in homes for prayer, for mutual encouragement, for edification, these things are really primary. And I would say are, you know, the backbone, really, of our church, and what we're made up of is this life, this walk, these things. So add anything to any of that?
There's over 40 one another
yeah.
commandments yeah. in the New Testament. So there's the assumption that you are with people who you can obey these commands with mm-hmm. and who can obey the command towards you too, to love one another, to serve one another, to mm-hmm. admonish one another, to, you know, all those things. And you can't do that unless you're with people who you know their name and that you're involved in their life. And mm-hmm. Sunday morning can do some of that on a large scale. But then where it really meets the road is when you're sitting around the dinner table mm-hmm. and one of your kids is acting up and all of a sudden, you know, your life is real. You can kind of, so that's why I think in the homes is so powerful, is around the dinner table is really powerful for a family to eat a meal together. But to do that, then kind of expand your church family out, that's powerful. And that's a transcultural thing. To share a meal around the table and be invited into homes is an honor and a privilege in every culture. That's part of humanity. To then integrate that into the church, I think, is biblical. But then that's everywhere. Invited into someone's home for a meal mm-hmm. is universal around mm-hmm. the globe, a sign of love and affection and openness. So mm-hmm. certainly the church should do that.
Yeah. One of the one another's that I think of too in Hebrews 10, where it says consider one another. The word there literally means study one another. And so you can't do that unless there is some ongoing contact and opportunity for interaction and knowing one another. And the idea there is so that we can encourage one another. And I think the implication there is you know people well enough to encourage them in light of how you've come to know who they are in terms of their strengths and their needs, and you're helping them, you're encouraging them, you're admonishing them, and so forth. So I think that's what life groups are about too. It's the way that we can do that particular thing as well as the other one another's that are all a part of what it means to love one another, mm-hmm. but really knowing each other mm-hmm. and being known, and then in the context of that, helping each other and encouraging one another mm-hmm. so that our hearts are not hardened by the deceitfulness yeah. of sin. Mm-hmm. So that's another big part of life groups, obviously.
Let's talk about the things that we feel like are important but supplemental in our church, and the things that we have designed and really we hope under the God's direction have designed for us to engage in, be a part of, serve in, but really are supplemental to those two, that life together, both corporately and in home. So let's talk about those things. The first of which, life classes. So let's, Brent, offer some clarification. What are they and why do we do it?
Yeah, life classes are different than life groups in this sense. In life groups, you're in homes, you're having a meal. There is the ongoing opportunity to know people and be known for that kind of depth of fellowship. Life classes are more equipping, more training, more teaching. Not to say that there aren't relationships formed or strengthened in there, but it's more of equipping God's people. And there's some content that we just feel like it's good for people to get and to understand in light of biblical theology, church history, those kind of things. And that's an opportunity to do that. And we have options so people can look at what they see on the schedule as far as classes, and they can see what maybe they need or are most interested in. And we feel like we can just more fully equip people, strengthen people, prepare people for the works of ministry, which is primarily to make disciples. And these classes help that. Help people be able to better do that.
Yeah, just to add on life classes, on the Sunday mornings we're working sequentially through books of the Bible almost entirely. And so God is setting the agenda and we're working through each of these. So we have a real, almost like a biblical theology approach to our preaching, which I think is good. We're letting the story unfold as God has told it in His Word. So that's how we're going through Romans, is we're kind of seeing how the argument flows and letting that be our primary diet. With life classes, we're then taking what's more what you would call a systematic theology. What does all of Scripture say about this? And that's really helpful. You need both, but your primary diet ought to be exposition, as God has laid it out, thus says the Lord. But there's a great need for a supplement of going, what does God say about marriage? What does God say about parenting? What does God say about hospitality? What does God say about Christ and salvation? And so different areas of Christian discipleship that we want our people to be skilled in. So this isn't just an academic, fill your mind with stuff. This is give you what you need to live faithful lives. And we every 8 weeks shuffle the deck so that people meet each other, so that people are getting this, you know, real intense boost.
Right.
This, you know, vitamin supplement that really helps them strengthen this area of their life. Yeah. And then they're going to get another one in another 8 weeks.
Yeah.
All under the consecutive exposition of Scripture. Mm-hmm. That's the main diet, but then you've got these little things underneath that strengthen and stir and address issues.
I'll say that in California, I was a part of a church plant for almost 8 years. And being a church plant, we met in a school and we had the facility for a limited amount of time on Sunday morning. So what we were able to do was a corporate gathering where the exposition of the word happened. And then we were able to meet in homes. Over the course of 7 years, as we grew as a church, one of the things that we saw was we didn't see spiritual starvation. People were being fed. But what we saw was an area of imbalance where we had a need to address certain specific doctrinal issues or certain systematic topics, theological topics, that we just didn't have a context or practically a place to be able to do that. And it was a real need that we saw. So while we're calling these life classes supplemental, we're strongly encouraging that people partake in these, because this is a part, and I think you said it well, Josh, it's really a part of a balanced diet, you know, a spiritual diet, that when we add to this our personal devotion and reading through God's word on our own and prayer, and we have to that the hearing, hearing the preached word of God expositionally, going through scripture, being together, being sharpened in life groups by one another, and then that kind of very laser focused teaching that happens during life classes. I mean, really, just biblically, I think we see just produces a Christian that is not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, someone that grows up into the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God. So that's definitely the effort here, and these things have very specific jobs and very specific definitions that we want to accomplish. Yeah. So,
and I just as even an example, we taught in systematic theology about God's providence, and then people immediately went out of that class having asked their questions and went in and then heard the sermon on Romans 9. Mm-hmm. But it had set the table, and that was just God's plant providence, essentially, right. that class would be right before Romans 9. And so now all of a sudden you're seeing it in the larger scope because we've done that, you know. So it would have been great to just hear Romans 9 by itself, but then also to have already in systematic theology be constructing a framework where, oh, I get the big picture and how this particular doctrine fits into that. Also, like if you take a church history, you'd realize that the things that we're dealing with culture right now are not new. Mm-hmm. And we've settled these things before. You know, if you're stressed about America as a nation and Christianity within that, go back to Augustine and hear about his city of God, and you would go, okay, mm-hmm. we're going to mm-hmm. be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, the people of God are going to be fine. So those are just examples of going, my goodness, mm-hmm. we have so much resource available to us that would save us a lot of worry and fear mm-hmm. if we just knew it mm-hmm. and could grab a hold of it and know mm-hmm. that we have what we need. So,
amen. Let's talk a little bit about these few things in the next couple minutes. Student and children's ministries. Josh, share with us your philosophy, and really our philosophy, of how we see student and children ministries.
Yeah, our student and children's ministries, I would definitely put in the supplemental category as well. I do think that children are very much helped when they're included within the larger life of the church. So I do think that it's helpful for students and upper age children to be a part of the singing, to be a part of those kinds of things. So our children's ministry during the service only goes up so high. There's practical reasons, space and volunteers. We also just think it's good. I know it's good for my kids for them to mm-hmm. sing with me mm-hmm. in service. We don't want to create an alternative mm-hmm. church, mm-hmm. but we also understand that there is special teaching. So we want to try to do the both and of incorporating them into the life of the church. And we want to build good church members, people who love Christ. So we want to, from the very earliest ages, begin teaching them the main stories of the big story of the Bible and how it all points to Christ. So it's not just David and Goliath, be like David, but it's David and Goliath and how that connects to the bigger story of who Christ is and what he's done to deliver us. So we want to do that all the way through. And then once you get to about the elementary age, that's really the sweet spot to not just ramp that up and keep going through the Bible that way, which is what we do both during the service in children's church and at 9 a.m. life classes, is we are just going through the Bible over and over again, showing them how the gospel's in all of it. So if someone's engaged from birth, by the time they're in sixth grade, they've been through the Bible three times mm-hmm. on different levels, different ways. We then, on every other Sunday night, add in the catechism, and that then adds the theological development. Again, it's biblical theology and systematic theology, very much mm-hmm. like what we're doing with the adults. Mm-hmm. Sequential preaching through the Word of God, and then topical doctrinal truth, you know, like life classes are, that's what the catechism is. But the reason we've picked certain curriculums, our curriculums aren't flashy, because again, it's just the Word of God through the people of God that are going to build these kids. It's not going to be big fancy slides and programs and activities. We want to do some of that, but we want, ultimately, what these students need is they need to know Jesus Christ through someone who knows Jesus Christ and through His Word. So we specifically keep it simple, sustainable, yet engaging. And ultimately, the reason we pick some of the curriculums we do is we want parents to be owning this. Mm-hmm. Parents, you know, Dad, you're the pastor of your home. I'm not the pastor of your kid. Mm-hmm. In the ultimate sense, I'm here to help equip you, shepherd your kids. So there's a both and. We want a lot of crossover where we're giving a good plan that everybody can engage on and move through together. But our Sunday morning 9 a.m. life class stuff has a home devotional that's very effective. Very simple, easy to do, nothing flashy, but will slowly, drip by drip, build up this reservoir of godliness in your students. And the catechism is designed to be done at home and integrated some into the life group if possible. And that's the goal. That's the goal there, is to put together a good plan that helps parents lead their kids, and we are a big help to that. And that would be true with student ministry. We just extend it up and just deal with those issues. So I tell the students all the time that this is not a church. Mm-hmm. Wednesday nights is not the church. It is an addition. It's a supplement. It's an extra. Mm-hmm. It's an extra opportunity to teach and to grow and to practice being a church member.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Our youth group's not real flashy. Our youth band's, you know, got a lot of work to do, but it's like that's what it's for. It's this laboratory mm-hmm. to experiment and to develop. Mm-hmm. So we're not flashy and cool, but I think we're slowly, steadily building people who will walk with Christ for a lifetime. So that's goal. Good.
Brent, talk about Sunday nights a little bit.
Yeah, we've just this year started having Sunday night services not just on the third Sunday, which is what we had been doing, but now on the first and the third Sundays, because we felt like there was an opportunity there. The third Sundays, we're focusing primarily on young men in our church who are in the TPA program or other young men in our church who are curious about exploring the possibility of God's leading and calling in their life, so that they're having opportunities to preach and to learn to prepare and teach God's word to God's people. So that's the third Sunday night most of the time. And then the first Sunday night, there's a lot of variety. We started off the year on the first Sunday night watching a video about mission and the work of God in India and some of the challenges there and the needs there. And so that's that we're also planning to do kind of a Q&A time. That's one of the things we've talked about on a first Sunday night, where the three pastors maybe field questions and mm-hmm. or maybe have already received questions from sermons and can answer some of those big questions that many people are asking. So there's a variety of things. We also are going to do some joint worship with Sister Church, I think, in the next few months on a Sunday night, one of those Sunday nights. So it's just another opportunity for us to gather, to encourage one another, to hear God's word, to give opportunity to young men, particularly who are considering God's calling and are being trained to be leaders or potentially to be church leaders, elders, pastors, missionaries. It's another great opportunity for us to come together. And prayer is a big part of that. We want to make prayer, and I think to a large extent we've done that fairly well, making that a part of our Sunday night service, where we collectively spend time in prayer for the different kinds of things we talk about during the service or the people who are teaching and preaching in the service. So it's another time to pray, another time to hear God's word, mm-hmm. and to be a part of equipping others.
Amen. Thanks for joining us for this. We hope that that is helpful and encouraging to you. If you have any questions, please email our church office or any one of the pastors. We'd love to engage with you about any of what you've heard today. God bless you.
This podcast has been a service of South Canyon Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this production has been an encouragement to you. May God bless you.